Let's open our Bibles tonight to Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 19. We're going to look at verse 10. This is John. He was receiving a revelation from an angel. And the angel's talking back to him because John was wanting to bow down, you know, he was so amazed at what was going on. And so verse 10, the angel's talking to him. He's talking about the angel. He says, I fell at his feet. This is 19:10, Revelation 19:10. I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, see, do not do it. I'm your fellow servant and of your brothers who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, Revelation 12:11, you're all familiar with that scripture. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, their testimony. So it said that the testimony, interesting, it said the testimony of Jesus was prophecy. So testimony and prophecy have always been important elements of our lives, of our Christian lives. 2 weeks from now, Wednesday, August the 11th, we are going to get you all to give some testimonies. And what we'll be looking for, we're looking for fresh ones. Mm-hmm. And not ones that happened a long time ago, but things that have been going on, the harvest you've been getting lately, the miracles you've seen lately, the change that you've seen lately, particularly the ones that are coming off the Aliyah harvest, mm-hmm. And your recent seeds. We'll be looking for that. And, of course, I want to ask you to please keep it down to just a few minutes because we may do several. And so we're going to light a torch for miracles. Mm-hmm. Just going to light a torch for miracles. And I just want to talk to you about that for just a little while. The testimony is the spirit of prophecy. Very interesting. It's a kingdom tool. The testimony is a little more weightier, I think, than maybe we pay attention to. Testimonies prophesy God's intent and nature to do all who will hear. He's just trying to get it out there to you. A testimony is about what God has done. Real simple, isn't it? Testimonies ignite our faith. They don't build our faith, but they enhance our faith. Knowing what the Father has done in the past actually will position you to experience what God's doing in the present. Okay? If you know, Lynn Hammond used to say this, she'd say, if you want to know what God will do, look at what he's done. He doesn't change. So testimonies then would be invitations. When a testimony comes forth, it's a prophecy released declaring that something can happen. We talked about this a little bit on thermostats this morning. And you remember a few years ago, I gave Larry a word. And I said, the Lord wants you to open a savings account. He's going to give you $200. Anybody remember that? A few of you remember that? And that afternoon, Larry found $200 in his truck. You remember that? Huh? On the windshield. Okay. So it was on the windshield. Now, did you see how you all reacted to that?
Yeah.
Everybody went, yeah. Okay, so what did that testimony do for you right now?
Yeah, it prophesied to
you. Yeah. Prophecy does this. It either foretells the future. Now, I want you to get this. Don't let this go over your head. Prophecy foretells the future. We see the prophets doing that. Or it causes a change to the present. There's a declaration that is put out there. It can change the atmosphere. You can receive it, and it begins to change something for you. I hope you got that. It's becomes catalytic in its ability to bring about that change in this present time, and it makes room for a supernatural release. Can you see that?
Yes.
when I told you and reminded you the story of Larry just then and what happened, there was a release in here. Now, everybody that opened their mouth and went, yeah, the womb of your spirit was open. And you conceived that testimony right then and said, okay, I can birth one of those myself. That's what words do. They're seeds. We're all grown-ups. We understand this. Amen. Now, so when you give your testimony, you're giving permission for someone else to tell it. Like if I just gave Larry's, you're making two assumptions. Number one, if God has done a great thing for me, he'll do it for somebody else. Right? And then the second thing would be that declaring the testimony was the vehicle by which the promise would be transmitted to others. We had to give the testimony in order for someone else to be able to start their engine on the next thing. Okay. So, once again now, I just want to repeat two things. Testimonies prophesy God's intent and nature to all who will hear. A testimony is about what God has done. When believers hear the word testimony, they relate to how they first came to Christ. That's how you heard it mostly, right? I'm going to give my testimony. You know, it could be lengthy, but this is what we must remember. We are never the main character in a testimony. We're just not the main character. Our stories are testimonies, and they tell of what God has done. The truth is we don't have a testimony without him. A testimony is the written or spoken record of anything God has done in history. This is a book of testimonies right here. The fact that John was getting a word about a testimony was a testimony. Amen. So that's what we need to think about. Everything God has said and done in history is absolutely your eternal possession. And the record holds all resources you need to be transformed into the image of Christ. Every record that has been written, from what happened to Larry to the big tractor coming to Lord, thank you for my 38 window house that I got, a house on the lake with the boat and the sea-doo, to cliff in Hawaii. Those all supercharged you to believe that God can do those things. That's what they're doing. That's what they're for. Christians give their testimonies mostly about when they got saved, as I said. And it usually includes how bad they were and how horribly they treated people or they were treated. You've heard them. And it usually takes about 35 minutes for them to tell all the bad stuff and about 3 minutes to tell that they got saved. I've heard them all my life. So I've been in church since I was five, I guess, or something. Got saved when I was nine, but I heard testimonies. Went to churches where they gave testimonies. But most of it, even I can think as late as the 90s, we would be sitting in the church where we were on the staff, and they'd invite a missionary in, and the whole testimony was all the horrible things that had happened to them, which is not how I was raised in the Word of Faith, because in the Word of Faith, you really want to give to somebody who's doing something good. I mean, you're supposed to sow into good ground, not people who are just getting into trouble. I mean, you could bless them because they need help, but that testimony didn't help us. It was pretty horrible, if I recall. You see where I'm going. But that people give their testimony, and, you know, we do have to understand that we have been saved from hell. We have been saved from hell. And we also need to understand that we've been saved to heaven. But what we also need to add to that is the fact that heaven has come to us right now. We have heaven on earth at our disposal right now. We have the kingdom right now. We're called to greater works, church. Oh, I just want us to get this, that we're called to greater works. We don't need to look around to see if we look like anybody else or we're doing what everybody else is doing. We need to compare ourselves to the Word of God and follow what the Holy Spirit is saying, and we're going to have good outcome, and we're going to have those greater works. Jesus said he went to the Father, and he said the Holy Spirit would come upon us. And I didn't say this. He said we would do greater works than he did. For one reason, there's more of us. But for another reason is because Jesus has given us the ability to bear much fruit. We're anointed. Well, I can't believe you'd say that about yourself. I am anointed. And you are anointed. The body of Christ has an anointing. Jesus gave it to us. And we don't need to apologize for that. Listen, there's nothing wrong with feeding the poor. There's nothing wrong with clothing the naked. We want to do those things, and we do. We get a call every once in a while, and we take whatever it is they need, and we give here and there. You know, we're big givers. We give a lot. But we're called to the impossible. We're called to miracles and healing. Jesus' good works were not hearing aids and seeing eye dogs. The blind saw and the deaf heard. Now, if that makes you mad, I can't apologize. That's the way Jesus was and is, and that's the way we are. If you need to wear a hearing aid, praise God, get one. But get your faith out there that you won't always have to wear one. God has been healing deaf ears for centuries and centuries and centuries. Right here in this house, God has healed people's ears. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you. If I get a miracle, so can you. God is no respecter of persons. When we release a testimony, declaring comes forth. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And when we react properly now, to a testimony, we have the anointing and favor of that testimony come jump on us. Come on with me. God said to Abraham, I will bless those that bless you. That means that when you got happy for Larry, that he received a blessing, it opened the door for it to happen to you. And I guess you realize this. I know you realize that there are people who react the wrong way. And they say, oh, man, that should have been me. Man, I could have used that. How many times have you heard people say things like that? Quite frankly, I've heard it right here in this church. We were talking about someone getting it, and I heard someone pipe in and say, oh, man, I wanted one of those. And I could tell by their attitude that they didn't believe they could have it. So they weren't all that thrilled about so-and-so having it. It wasn't the Larry thing. It was something else. But I tell you, if you're grateful for what happens to your brothers and sisters, you are going to get the same thing. Amen. You know, a while back, I don't know if you remember this, it was actually in a Wednesday night service, I believe, that we told the Father that we wanted to be used in miracles. You remember that? I mean, I believe we all stepped forward and said, yes, use us, Lord. See, we see and understand that if we're going to reach the world, we need more than what's humanly possible. Church, we're not going to reach the world in this end time. I know you can see how it is right now. Today was not a good day to watch the news. Or maybe it was because we're going to pray about it in a little while. But I'm telling you something. I'm telling you. We need the power of God operating in our lives. And here's the good news. We have it. We have him. Power is a huge part of our inheritance. If we're going to do the good works that Jesus did, we'll have to have that power. We'll have to use that power. Is that right? And if you're going to fulfill your destiny, to do the impossible, you are going to have the heavenly resource of power. Thank you. And the testimonies of God, listen to me, are a key. See, I don't think we've made much about that, but a testimony is a key. I just gave you a key to walking in the power. A testimony is a key to walking in the power. Let me tell you why. Because they unveil who God is. They tell us who God is. This is the kind of God we serve. He heals blinded eyes. He does miracles. He gets you into your derrick, your assignment. He blesses you financially. He does all these things. He keeps you safe and in peace during pandemics and things like that.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what I said. Now, I'm not saying that it isn't real, but I'm telling you it was planned. The enemy has had a big plan. It's not flesh and blood. It's the devil himself and people that cooperate with him. I'll leave that alone right now. Anyway, so here's the thing. You cannot walk in power unless you're encountering the God of power. It's about an encounter with God. They teach believers to pursue a relationship with him. These testimonies do. They'll teach you to pursue a relationship with God instead of just the gifts, instead of just the answered prayer. We're talking about being in relationship with him. And testimonies actually produce this. They say this. He did it for me. He did it. He did it. It's not this. I prayed and I got it. I sowed my seed and I got it. No, it's God prompted me to sow a seed. I sowed the seed because he prompted me to, and I reaped the harvest that he gave me. He multiplied. It's all about him. So it makes people focus on him instead of answered prayer like it's some kind of machine you can pull. And praise the Lord. He wants you to love the gifts. I'm not saying that. He wants you to love the gifts. He wants you to love answered prayer. But he wants you to love him. He wants to be in relationship with you. He wants for you to encounter his amazing love so much that you will be motivated by passion instead of duty.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Because duty is just religion. Well, I guess we have to do this. We'll all just march to this and do, because that's what they tell us to do. How about it's because you love somebody? I'm not going to sing it. But you love somebody. You love him. And you have a passion. He is our passion. That's one of my favorite songs. We're passionate about him. We love him. We want people to know about him. I'm on a quest. My quest for life is to tell people God is good. You all know that. That's what I'm called to do. Is just to tell people how good God is. Every prophetic word I give is about good. Or about how we're going to change it to good. Because that's what God is in me. And that's my assignment. And that needs to be our passion. Hey man, God is good. Golly, where do you go to church? Where did you learn that? Out of the Bible? Praise the Lord. Once you do this and you're operating out of this passion instead of just duty, then he'll trust you with the power. Now just step back and look at life around you and where people have been and where you've been and what you've seen in the Church of the Living God. The people who are passionate about God, that's where the miracles are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he'll give you this in just an unprecedented measure if you'll just come in there with him. You know, the anointing that we talk about all the time, it's not an impersonal power. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. He's a person. It's the Holy Spirit himself. And he's passionate to accomplish something that's very specific in me and in you. There's something very specific that he wants to bring to pass in you, in you, in you, in you. We're all doing a little bit something different, but there's something very specific that he's passionate about with you. That's why we all kind of are on the same path, but different things take place in our lives. Something may get you more excited. One testimony may excite you more than another one. I'd be pretty happy with $200 on my windshield, I think. Yeah. Gratefulness is involved too. Be grateful for what you have and what you've had. Look back over your life. Well, how good has God been to you? You've had food, you've had shelter, you've had clothes, you've had blessed people in your life. You got your baby children and your baby grandchildren and Jesus, who's so amazing. See, the more you make room for him, the more he puts his power and his revelation to work for his purpose in you. And you know this, communication with the Spirit was the secret to Jesus' ministry. He communicated with Holy Spirit. He went away on purpose so you could have that communication and that personal relationship with Holy Spirit on the inside of you. The testimonies teach us what the Holy Spirit is like and how to move with him. How many times have we heard, we said, you know, the Lord said this to me, so I did this, and then this is what happened. Well, the Lord spoke to me. I was walking through my bathroom, and the Lord said, you know, I want you to bring one of the Jewish people home to Israel. Okay, well, I'll do that. Well, I'll just do it myself. I'll find where I'm supposed to send in the check. No, you won't. You'll tell the church and see if any of them want to. Well, okay, let's see if we can just, you know, we'll send 1,000 I want 12 now. We want 12. We want one for every tribe. Okay, so that's what I'm supposed to do. So I'll give 12. And so I'm going to do that. It was $1,200 is what I was supposed to do. So I'm going to give $1,200. And then what happens? Bam, 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 bam. And $24,025. They're already bringing the people home, probably. Now, oh yeah, Lord, that's good. So one little thing that the Lord tells you to do, and now we're in the Aliyah blessing. And don't think it's not strategic for the time, because your protection level has risen. God's a big protector of Eretz Israel and the people. Israel. That's the people. Eretz is the land. Okay, so the protection level's up.
Yeah.
Preservation is up.
Yes.
A financial harvest is in. People coming home is in. People that need to come to this church are coming to this church. People are going to find their homes in whatever church they belong to. I mean, just put a little pressure on that and be thanking God for that, because it's happening.
Yep.
Glory to God. See, that testimony just went, woo, everywhere.
Yeah.
Testimonies keep us aware of God, of a God who invades the impossible when the perspectives of those around us are focused on temporary physical circumstances. Now, if you ever needed to hear what I just said, it's today. If you have seen the news in the last 2 days, you know that you cannot focus on what is going on in this world right now. You are going to have to look up.
Right.
Even in the midst of it, we're still winning.
That's right.
But you know, testimonies, they're like sails on a boat. They're going to catch his wind. They're just going to catch his wind. And unless the wind of the Spirit fills them, they don't have any eternal purpose. We're always looking for eternal purpose. Listen, keeping the testimony is not a matter of preserving what God has done in our memories. It's not what we're talking about. That could go with some gratefulness, but it's not trying to preserve it in our memories. It's revealing what God is like to those around us through declaration and demonstration. That's what we're doing. The very word testimony in the Hebrew comes from the root word that means to repeat or do it again. That's what testimony actually means. And repetition carries with it two dimensions, and they are saying and doing. Wow, where have we heard that before? Saying and doing. Glory to God. The testimony is something to be repeated in word and deed. Amen. When we declare the testimonies of the Lord, we're actually describing who He has promised to be in relationship with us. I promise you, this is how I am. I will take care of you. Man, it's been some years now, but a light came on when I really realized that He was my source. When I quit toiling and I said, I'm yours. You got this, because I don't. There's nothing I can come up with that's going to make this the way you want it to be. I'm not going to be able to get the numbers right. I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to be perfect at it. It's about you being my source. And when that changed, everything, in those categories changed in my life. Right from healing to finances to debt freedom to peace of mind to building character. It's all about that He's the source. You keep Him the source and you cut off that worry, everything will be added to you. Yes, it will. And you'll have a testimony. You'll have a testimony of how great God is. You'll be able to stand up and say in 30 seconds, I have a testimony. I sowed a seed. God gave me the seed. I sowed the seed, and I got this harvest. I have a testimony. I was healed. Well, I went to the prayer line, and I was healed. I was at home, and I was healed. Whatever it is, this happened to me. And look for the even the bigger, brighter things. Not just cause and effect, but look at what happened with the Aaliyah seed. The seed itself multiplied. Not just the harvest that you're going to get. Listen, you would be silly to let go of that. If the seed multiplied that big, how big is the harvest? Yes, amen. Amen. And so we can't be the people who are like, well, nothing happens for me. Nothing's happening. I'm just going to... I can't believe God has held out on me. See, that's your problem. Yeah. Is you keep going back and thinking it's God. But what's happening is coming from the inside of you. Yeah. I made a fresh promise to God. So I'll just tell everybody that's listening today and all of you. I made a fresh promise. I'm not holding back. I'm not... When new people come, they're going to know exactly who we are. Well, I don't know if they can all take how we are. Well, if they can't, they can go to somewhere where they don't do what we do, and we'll be all right, because we're not holding back. We're going to do what Holy Spirit wants us to do, because we have to do the impossible in these days, and somebody around here needs to stay in faith and stand up for God and say that He can obliterate every plague and every devil and every socialistic devil and everything connected with it. The beast and all of its problems in Jesus' name. Well, y'all are just crazy. Well, fine. We'll see, won't we? Because I promise you, we are the virgins who have lit our lamps. And we will stay with God all the way till the rapture.
Amen. Thank you for it, Lord.
And there's no compromise, church. And you'll have to stand strong. I got enough news today to make me madder than a
wet hen.
Why is a wet hen mad? They don't like being wet. And you can't say that about cats, because Ronnie's cat likes to take a bath. It's a good thing, because those cats are stinky. No, just. Oh, no, I didn't say that. And I know what Ronnie's thinking. She's saying, my little cat doesn't stink. Praise the Lord. I have to tell you, my dog stinks sometimes. Praise the Lord. So we're making a demand on heaven for that covenant to be demonstrated in the present as it was in the past. And so we're going to have to stand our ground, church. We're just not going to be able to just go, well, okay. No. We're going to have to stand up for what we believe. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Putting a demand on heaven is exactly what God wants us to do. Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.